Well, the last couple of weeks, I had talked about how do we respond to culture around us. And we looked at a survey of what non-Christians think of us and how do we respond to the world based on what they think of us and how do we make disciples. Today is going to be a completely different message. In fact, I ask for a little bit of liberty with creative freedom here today. It was a strange week, and in particular, a strange day this week, where I just really, really noticed and saw the fallenness and the brokenness of my voice. No, of the world that we live in. And as I looked across the various events of this week, I just kept coming back to this idea that we need Jesus. Like, we need Jesus. We have no other viable option. As I looked at all of these scenarios and all of these people and all of these situations, I'm like, I don't have any other option for them but Jesus. So can we agree that we need Jesus?
Amen.
The first incident of the week or of this time that I want to talk about, it was an encounter with a neighbor, yet another encounter with this particular neighbor who has a severe anger problem. This time he was enraged over a small, and I mean small, puddle of water on our newly paved street. When I suggested to him that maybe it wasn't that big of a deal, he came unglued and began to scream at me yet again. Can we agree that he needs Jesus to break him free from the chains of anger, to break him free from the grief that hit him so hard so many years ago? He needs Jesus to give him hope in the midst of his pain and despair. He needs Jesus to show him what is important now that what had been important has been taken from him and is now gone. Jesus, help our brother find peace in you and set him free from the torment of anger and bitterness. Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Can we agree that we all need Jesus to be able to do this? Then I hear news that an acquaintance of mine is in hospice because he couldn't walk free from an addiction. I had sat with this man in an emergency hospital room for many hours one day, waiting for him to receive treatment so that he could then be admitted into rehab. He stayed in rehab for approximately 6 months, but upon exiting rehab, he quickly went back to his addiction. But this time, it will take his life. He lies in a hospice bed, dying a slow, painful death of liver disease. His liver has completely stopped working, and his brain has been damaged. Can you agree that he needs Jesus? He needs Jesus to set his body free from addiction. He needs Jesus to set him free from pain and suffering that he is in currently. And if Jesus' mercy would have it, he needs Jesus to set him free from impending death. He needs Jesus to set him free from the pain that led to the addiction. He needs Jesus to set him free from the emotional scars the addiction itself has caused him. He needs Jesus to set him free from the shame and guilt of the addiction. He needs Jesus to welcome him into the kingdom of heaven when that time comes. I give thanks that Jesus sent another friend, a mutual friend, to his bed this week to lead him in a sinner's prayer. Mark 2:17 says, on hearing this, Jesus said to him, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Can we agree that sinners need Jesus for healing? Stephen, you can put up that first slide. Then I hear news that a local pastor has been fired. They fired him because they were going in a different direction. When you hear stories like this, it is never good. This is exactly what happened to him. Nancy actually posted this on my Facebook today. It says, pastoral search community. The bottom says, basically, we're looking for an innovative pastor with a fresh vision who will inspire our church to remain exactly the same. And that's what happened to this brother who was fired. Can we agree that this local church and this pastor needs Jesus? They need Jesus to show them a better way. They need Jesus to show them the church was never intended to be like a business where shepherds could be hired and fired. They need Jesus to bring healing to their wounded hearts and souls. They need Jesus to bring healing to the wounds from the death of their first pastor. They need Jesus to bring his kingdom to a church that struggles with identity. They need Jesus to be at the center of everything they do. This pastor who was fired, he needs Jesus to keep him from getting bitter and cynical. This pastor needs Jesus to help him stay in love with the bride of Christ, the church. This pastor needs Jesus to renew his call on his life to be a pastor. This pastor needs Jesus to lead him to another flock that he can shepherd. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church are well worthy of double honor, especially those who work as preaching and teaching." Can we agree that pastors and churches need Jesus? Then I see a Facebook post from someone I know who believes that churches should be taxed. Then the government could use those billions of lost dollars to help the poor. He even was so bold as to suggest that we could solve homelessness if we merely tax the churches. Can we agree that this person needs Jesus? He needs Jesus to show him that the answer is never in government systems. He needs Jesus to show him that the kingdom of God comes near when we preach and heal the sick, not because of political ideologies. The people who are outside of the church don't need politics, they need Jesus. If they are hungry, they don't need a better system of food stamps, they need Jesus. If they are sick, they don't need insurance, they need Jesus. If they are poor, they don't need welfare, they need Jesus. Because after all, Jesus can multiply food, heal the sick, and bring money from the mouth of a fish. Matthew 10:7 says this, "As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Have I ever mentioned that verse before? Just once? Glad somebody remembers it. Can we agree that we need Jesus to help us be the church? This person could only post this kind of a comment because they have never seen the church being the church. If they think taxing the church and giving the money to a corrupt government is the solution to ending poverty, they've never seen the church being the church. Amen. Everywhere I looked this week, I saw entitlement. The world and culture around us screams more. More from the government, more from our employer. I'm entitled to this, I'm entitled to that. Every advertisement includes it. You deserve this. Deciding who we'll vote for based on how much they promise to give us. The tyranny of entitlement keeps us trapped under a spirit of poverty, never thinking I have enough and that God and the government somehow haven't done enough to take care of me. Can we agree that we need Jesus to show us what is important? 1 Timothy 6:6 says this. I've been stuck on this verse all week. 1 Timothy 6:6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." Let me read that one again. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." Could you ever be truly content with nothing but food and clothing? Put the next picture up. Could you be content with nothing but food and clothing? This is a picture of us in lunch line in Gondola, Mozambique. We received a bowl of rice and a piece of chicken, a small piece of chicken. And I remember sitting there eating it, looking around at the joy on the faces of everyone else. One of the guys that we were with joked that you couldn't see the person, you couldn't recognize who they were behind the pile of rice in their bowl. They were like, they could hide behind the rice, they had so much piled up. But there was such joy, and I remember being so profoundly thankful for this bowl of rice and this one piece of chicken. Could we ever be content knowing that that was enough? Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. My father died on his first day of retirement, naked in the shower. Age 55. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. You see, the path toward contentment starts with thanksgiving, because being thankful for the basics like food and clothing breaks the power of entitlement. You cannot think you're entitled to anything if you're thankful for what you already have. We need Jesus to remind us of what is important. Jesus, please help us be content. Jesus, help us see blessings in simple things like bread and clothing. Then a dear friend and fellow pastor sits in my office this week and tells me that he's starting a business. It breaks my heart as he tells me of the difficulty that he has had in paying his health insurance. He left a six-figure income job to be a pastor and now can't pay his family's health insurance. He told me of ministry opportunities that went unfulfilled because of lack of money. Can we agree that this pastor and churches need Jesus? We need Jesus to break off a spirit of poverty that holds much of the church in bondage. The Lord our God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. After all, he is the God of the universe. There is nothing that is not in his hand. But the enemy has come and convinced us, the people of God, that God is not good and that we don't have enough. And so the enemy stands in the way of us seeking wisdom on financial matters. We live by just trying to get by and maybe hoarding the little that we have. Can we agree that we need Jesus to show us how to live by faith? Can we agree that we need Jesus to show us what financial principles really are? Jesus taught us to pray, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are never short-funded. So why does the church struggle so? I remember traveling in Senegal and seeing this massive, beautiful mosque being built. And I look at that, and I look at the town that I'm in, Chess, the poverty, the need, and the extreme of that community. And I asked our missionary, I said, where's the money for that coming from? Oh, Saudi Arabia. And it struck me. The enemy can fund the construction of massive, massive, beautiful mosques in intensely poor nations. But the church is operating on pennies. Can we agree that we need Jesus to show us where we've gotten off track? Then I received an email with the news that a young indigenous African leader had fallen into sexual sin and had an affair. Can we agree that all the people involved in this situation need Jesus? Can we agree that the young lady, the victim, the other woman, needs Jesus? She needs Jesus to bring healing to her body. She needs Jesus to bring healing to her mind, heart, and soul. She needs Jesus to keep her from becoming bitter or angry. She needs Jesus to help her overcome confusion. She needs Jesus to help her trust again. She needs Jesus to show her the goodness of Daddy, Father God. Can we agree that this young man's wife needs Jesus? She needs Jesus to heal her emotionally. She needs Jesus to help her overcome the bitterness of betrayal. She needs Jesus to help her overcome confusion and hurt. She needs Jesus to help her fight the questions, was I not enough? And what's the matter with me? She needs Jesus to make a way for forgiveness so her soul isn't poisoned with bitterness. She needs Jesus to help her trust again. Can we agree that the leaders of the mission that he served under need Jesus to deal with this? They need Jesus to give them wisdom on what to do. They need Jesus to give them grace in dealing with the young man. They need Jesus to give them compassion in dealing with the two women. They need Jesus as they question what went wrong. They need Jesus as they second guess everything they've ever done. They need Jesus as they question their own leadership. They need Jesus as they deal with a sense of betrayal. They need Jesus as they lead and comfort the other people involved in the mission and the churches associated with it. Can we agree that this young man needs Jesus? He needs Jesus to break his heart for what he did. He needs Jesus to heal the hurt and the emptiness in him that led him to do this to begin with. He needs Jesus to show him that his wife was more than enough. He needs Jesus to break the culture that it's okay to have two wives. He needs Jesus to bring him to repentance. He needs Jesus to bring healing to his soul. He needs Jesus to help him trust himself again. He needs Jesus to help him restore what can be restored. Hebrews 13:4 says, "Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral." Can we agree that we need Jesus to help keep the marriage bed pure? Can we agree that we need Jesus to make a way for restoration and forgiveness when we do fall? Can we be thankful that Jesus does bring judgment so that we do not remain in our sin, but that he also brings grace and mercy to provide a path forward out of sin? Then I received an email that a friend and fellow pastor serving in India suddenly died, or his wife suddenly died. You can put the next picture up. One minute she's fine and making a good recovery from an infection, and the next minute she's dead in a foreign country, far from her family. Her name was Johanna. Can we agree that her husband and their children and the church they served and their families need Jesus? They need Jesus to bring peace that surpasses understanding. Those children need Jesus to be their mommy. Can we agree that her husband needs Jesus as he grieves? He needs Jesus as understanding for this tragedy may never come. He needs Jesus to overcome the second guessing, the confusion, and the doubt. He needs Jesus to help him overcome the shame heaped on him by one of the doctors treating his wife, who said he was a fool for bringing his American wife to India. He needs Jesus to show him what it is to be a single father. Can we agree that the deceased woman's family need Jesus? They need Jesus to help them with their grief, with their second guessing, and their confusion. They need Jesus to help them deal with the fact that their daughter has been buried on foreign soil without usual proper burial preparations. They don't believe in embalming in India, and nor do they have any embalming equipment. They normally burn the body and throw the ash into the nearest river. And because of the tremendous heat wave that they're having in India right now, they had to bury her within hours of her death, with no preparations. They need Jesus to help them with the fact that there was no funeral. There was no closure. They'll never see their daughter. They'll never see her body. They'll never get to say goodbye. Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Lord, we pray this for Sundar and the children and Johanna's family. Psalm 23:4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Jesus, we need you to walk with his family through this dark valley. Jesus, we have no words. We can only fix our eyes on you and look to you for comfort and hope for this family. Jesus, we need you. Can we agree that we need Jesus? Can we also agree that Jesus will have to work through all of us in these situations? Many of these people in these situations need Jesus with skin on. After all, none of these are problems to be fixed. They're people. and people cannot be fixed. People need Jesus. We must make ourselves available to be the conduit that Jesus can work through. In the midst of situations like these, we need Jesus to show us that He is indeed good. We need Jesus to show us the glories and the riches of His kingdom. As we look at everything from the sinfulness and the fallenness of man to utter tragedy like Johanna's death. Jesus is still good. God is still good. He's still on His throne. And He has developed in His wisdom this crazy path, this crazy plan, that the way He's going to work through all of these situations is through you and me being the church, being available to be used by Him, to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us, to not get angry when others get angry at us, to be quick to offer prayer and support and comfort, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to cast out demons, and to raise the dead. Have I ever mentioned that? The church has to stand up and be the church. Every one of these situations and every one of these scenarios that I explained, they need the church being the church. And the church collectively is made up of individuals. I saw this thing on Facebook last night that irritated me. It had two columns. On this column, the church in the first century looked like this and described the book of Acts. And then it said, the church today looks like this, and it had all these negative comments about the church. The church is made up of individuals. If the church reflects that as a collective whole, that means that's what we look like individuals. The church cannot look like something other than what the individuals who make the church up are. What bothered me about the post is I know the character of the person who posted it. If we want the church to look like the church of the first century, then we as individuals have to be people of the first century. It's the same Holy Spirit. Everything that we see in the book of Acts could happen today if we make ourselves available to it. Holy Spirit, come. Invade us. We need Jesus. I shared all of these situations today because they are situations that we are constantly faced with. And the answers to all of them are Jesus. They were all everyday scenarios. Everything that I mentioned could happen in any given day. Any given day, you might have an encounter with an angry neighbor. Any given day, you might hear the news of a loved one who's fallen into sin. Any given day, you might hear the news of a loved one who's died untimely. Any given day, you might hear the news of a loved one who can't pay their health insurance. Any given day, you will encounter someone who thinks that the solution to their problems is entitlement. Believe it or not, all of these scenarios that I just laid out happened in one day, Tuesday of this week. I didn't sleep Tuesday night. I just kept thinking, we need Jesus. We can't waste our time looking for solutions anywhere else. And when we do, that frees us up to be the conduit to work through. You see, so often we're not available to what the Holy Spirit wants to do because we're busy pursuing other options. I'm grieved that my friend and fellow pastor has to start a business. That stinks. He will not have time for ministry. Can we agree that we can have no other agenda than Jesus' agenda? We must lay down ideologies of the world. And let's pick up the agenda that Jesus taught us. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can we agree that we need Jesus? Amen. I've invited the worship team to come back up and just do that last song again, Even So Come. And let's just spend time in that song, in that prayer.